Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. You know, it's a thrill for me to teach and preach the Word of God, and it's an honor to know that many people tune into the podcast to learn more from God's Word. The Bible commands the preacher of the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. What a challenging verse, to preach the Word. You know, what the Bible says is really all that matters in these days. I trust that as you listen today, your heart will be greatly encouraged by the biblical message. Let us know how God is using this podcast to touch your life. And thanks again for joining with us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5 for our text this evening. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. How's everybody doing tonight? Doing all right? All right. Good. And I'm looking forward to this message, one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and certainly speaks to this occasion in a great, great way. I've entitled the Bible study, Seeing We Have This Ministry. Would you say that with me? Seeing We Have This Ministry. Or recognizing that we have a ministry. So we're going to read the text, pray, have one more song, and then get right into our Bible study tonight. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and for the privilege to be a part of a ministry that is spreading the word. And I pray tonight that you would bless our Bible study. I pray that you would encourage hearts to remain faithful in serving and others to begin serving, and that we would see the joy and the high calling of God tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight we focus on the great privilege of serving God. How many of you believe it's a great privilege to serve God? And that's what we're going to focus on tonight, the privilege of serving God. You know, I'm afraid that sometimes in our Christian life, we get our values in step with the world and in step with the teachings of the Scripture. And it's something that sometimes happens slowly and subtly, and we don't even really realize it. I was thinking about this past week, and over the years I've known a lot of tremendous men that work in law enforcement and various types of work of that nature, and a lot of them are very committed and they have a high love for serving the Lord. Many of them are here tonight. But every once in a while you'll get around a guy that's a Christian, but in getting caught up in the ego side of what he does, he gets the idea that, you know, doing some type of a security for a high profile person, or having some type of a real top secret assignment, or having some exclusive ranking, that's really where the action is. You know, being able to be around maybe doing some detail for the president or the vice president or the governor. No doubt those are exciting assignments. But when we get the idea in our mind that that is it, and that maybe being an usher or, you know, going out soul winning or teaching the fifth grade is kind of like down here, all of a sudden, we got it all out of whack. And not just law enforcement, I use that as an illustration, but in your career or in your life or mine, there are times when we can think, man, that's cool. I get to do that or get to be there. And then we kind of think about, you know, helping the teenagers or something, and maybe going to teen camp or junior camp. We think, man, you know, that is just sheer punishment. And sometimes without really thinking it through, we get kind of twisted in what really matters the most. By the way, how many of you believe that the soul of a 10-year-old coming to Jesus might matter a little more than some of the other things you could do in this life? But sometimes we get that mixed up. And there are some folks that when they hear about ministry involvement night, they go, you know what, that'd be a good night to watch football. That'd be a good night to do something else, because I'll tell you what, I'm just too tired, or I've got other things to do. And subtly the devil gets us thinking that serving God really isn't what matters most. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 84 and verse 10? You don't have to turn there, it may be in your notes, but listen to this verse very carefully. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. How many men would give their right arm to go to a party with Shaq, or go to a party with some baseball player, football player, hang out with all the stars, you know? How many would think, man, that would be cool to hang around with people like that? But you know, when you're right with God, you're going to say this: you know what? I count it a great and high privilege to be an usher at Lancaster Baptist Church. I count it a privilege to hold that door so a widow lady can come in and worship. I count it a great privilege to teach my fifth grade class. I count it a great privilege to drive the bus for the children that come to Sunday school. And tonight is a night just to get that right in perspective, and to really remember the great privilege that we have to serve the King of Kings. I want to share with you very briefly tonight the three responsibilities that we have as Christian workers tonight. Three responsibilities that we have as Christian workers. The first thing we must do tonight as we pause on this ministry involvement night is we must recognize our role in the ministry. Every one of us need to recognize our role in the ministry. Now notice, if you would, in verse 4 what the Apostle Paul says. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy. When you go back to the previous verses and you understand what the word therefore is, therefore, you'll find that he's referencing back to his own salvation. You'll find that he had spoken just a few words before under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He had said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He was speaking about the salvation liberty that he experienced through the Lord Jesus Christ, being saved. And then he comes right into verse 4 saying, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, his role then as a minister began from the apostle's perspective at the moment he got saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, we have been called according to his purpose. When God saved you, he had a purpose in mind for your life. He had, if you will, a predetermined plan for your life. By the way, what a tragedy for a saved person to miss out on God's plan for their life. What a tragedy not to know the perfect will of God for your life. And the Bible says here, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. In other words, Paul says, my role as a minister began the day that God saved me. And God made him a minister of the New Testament. God gave him the privilege of sharing the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the word here in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. The Greek word there is diakonia, and it is the root word from which we find the word deacon, which means a table waiter or a servant or one that waits on other people. And God says that all of us are to be servant-hearted. All of us are to be willing to help someone in their time of need. Certainly the Lord Jesus gives us the supreme example. In Mark 10 and verse 45, the Bible says, but even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Sometimes around the Bible college, we tell the students, see the need and take the lead. See the need and take the lead. You say, what's the need, Pastor? It might be a tumbleweed blown across the parking lot. Amen. I often tell young people in different states, I'll say, you know what? Very few Bible colleges in America afford you the opportunity of tumbleweed picking upping. A lot of students are deprived in the educational process. They do not have tumbleweeds blowing across their campus, you see. And this is just another design that we have here in this college to help develop servant-hearted ministry, you see, is just to keep enough tumbleweeds around. But it might be seeing a tumbleweed that needs to be picked up. See the need and take the lead. It might be seeing a piece of trash. It might be wiping the sink in the bathroom. It might be opening a door. It might be sitting this Sunday next to someone who is weeping during the altar call. And you see it. And it might be that the Spirit of God nudges your heart and says, why don't you help them to come down and seek some counsel? see the need and take the lead. That's what ministers do. They see the need and take the lead. And Paul said, that began for me when I got saved. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we all are assigned a ministry opportunity. And here's the great news. We all are given supernaturally. We all are gifted with enablements and abilities by the Holy Spirit so that we can be better equipped ministers. Look at that verse in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. It says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Oh, listen, God says, I'm going to give you gifts and abilities, and I want you to steward those. I want you to use those for my honor, for my glory. God may give you a gift of edifying, maybe through teaching, maybe through singing, maybe through handwritten notes, maybe like Mrs. Susanna Winkler, who made little baby blankets for all the newborn babies. But how it manifests itself may be different with different people, but it's God that puts that desire in your heart. And it's God that gives you that ability. And one of my responsibilities as the pastor is to try to stir you up and encourage you to use what God has given you for His honor and for His glory. And so all of that process began when you got saved. God had something in mind for you and for me to do. But notice secondly, a continuation by the mercy of God. It began when we got saved, but it will only continue by the grace and mercy of God. Now, not to be disparaging or even discouraging, but the fact is there are probably a few million Christians in America who truly got saved. They started serving. They started doing something in the way of serving and ministering. But for whatever reason, fatigue, discouragement, backslidden conditions, whatever, they're not serving the Lord now like they used to. How many of you say, that's a fair assessment? And the fact that you're sitting in church tonight doesn't mean you're any better than them. It just means that somehow, by the grace and mercy of God, you're still in it. By the way, how many of you are glad you're still in it? I mean, I don't know about you. I want to be serving the Lord. I wouldn't mind preaching a message right when that trumpet sounds, to be honest with you. And it's by God's mercy. And that's what it says in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have received the mercy of God. Spurgeon said it very well. If we give God service, it must be because He gives us grace. We work for Him because He works in us. Now think about that. We work for Him because He works in us. There are times when a mother or father may be teaching a Sunday school class, but they're having trials in their own life. They're having difficulty, maybe in their own family. And with a heavy heart, they get up and teach that lesson. You know why? It's only because God's grace is working in them that God can work through them. That's why we are commanded to grow in the grace as well as the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the role that God has given to you will only continue as you experience His mercy and His grace in your life. And that role, of course, is to be a servant, to be a minister. Look at your notes there, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, or turn back a page in your Bible, verse number 3. And see how God's grace and comfort makes the difference. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this title. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now, I'm just telling you tonight, some of you have been in the choir for 10 years. Some of you have been driving a bus for 15 years. Some of you have been working maybe in a Sunday school for a long time. And it must be that we know how to grow in grace and that we experience the comfort of God and that we seek His face if we're going to continue on. And the Bible says here that He is the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. Now, how many of you would agree that comforting people that are in trouble, that's ministry? But we've got to have God's grace in order to go out and help others that are in trouble. and that are having difficulty. And that's why our time in prayer and our time in the Word of God and in good fellowship is so vitally important, so we can get our tank filled up, so we can go out and help someone else in their time of need. By the whom, notice it says, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I love the quote by Hudson Taylor. You almost have to read it two or three times to let it sink in. Hudson Taylor was one of the great, great Baptist missionaries to China. But notice it says in verse, or in this quote rather, I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. I ended up by saying and asking him to do his work through me. I used to ask God to help me, and that's okay. And then I asked God if I could help him, and that's okay too. But then he said, I came to the place where I just said, Lord, do your work through me, where we learn to rely upon him and upon his strength. And so first and foremost tonight, we are here to recognize our role. And if I cannot, with the scriptures and with God's spirit, help and convince and encourage you with this thought, then the final thoughts here won't really matter, because you and I have got to be convinced that God saved us for a reason. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and you may be a doctor or a nurse, or you may be an engineer, or you may be a mechanic, or you may drive a tractor, or you may do any one of a thousand things, but you must leave this service tonight recognizing, first and foremost, you're a child of God with a purpose, and that purpose is to be a minister for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Wherever you go tomorrow, you are in the full-time ministry of Jesus Christ. Every saint is called to be a servant. Every member called to be a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize your role. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Let's say that together. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Notice secondly now tonight, once we recognize our role, we must then reveal the truth. We must recognize that our ultimate role together in ministry is that the truth would be known in our society. Notice in verse 2 then, he says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now notice, if you will, God has a purpose for us in ministry that his truth would be known. Sometime do a word study on the word ministry, and you'll find that it always relates to the conveying of truth, sharing the truth, Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, Paul said. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said his ministry was to testify of the gospel. Now, we want to do that in two ways. Letter A, we want to do this through pure doctrine. Through pure doctrine. And I want you to see the key phrase here in verse 2 is where he said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We have separated ourselves from that which is not true. We will not handle the word of God deceitfully. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, but it must be handled properly, sincerely, and it must also be rightly divided. Let me show you there in 2 Timothy 2:15 a wonderful verse. Notice this as we consider sharing pure doctrine, prepared lessons. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Notice this last phrase. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's say that together. Rightly. And so there is a process of study. That's one of the reasons that we work diligently, and Brother Christensen primarily helping now in this area, to find a curriculum that's scripturally based, that can be given to our teachers, that would aid them in their preparation, and then our teachers take it to the next level and study and read and develop lessons for the adult classes, the teen classes. this matter of getting involved in Sunday school and teaching, it requires study. And all of us should study the Word of God. But how much more? We have many, really right now, many men and women in our church praying about taking a group of four or five and starting another adult Bible class. And a big part of that commitment is going to be that they'll get into the Word of God. And it's exciting because in doing that, they're going to grow exponentially. They're going to help other people grow exponentially. And their goal is that they're going to rightly divide the Word of God. They want to learn how to renounce the things that are dishonest, the things that are unscriptural, and how to lift up that which is true and that which is helpful. And what a blessing that is as the Word of God goes forward. So we advance the truth. We reveal the truth first and foremost through the sound teaching of the Word of God. But let me tell you how else we advance the truth. Notice this, if you would, through pure lives. We advance the truth through a pure life or testimony. Now notice something very quickly and very, very importantly. It says in verse 4, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Would you say that with me now? Let's say it together. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. All right? One more time now that you found it. Let's say it together a little louder. Ready to begin. But by manifestation of the truth, now for those that would say the outward doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter how I look, how I talk, where I hang out, they simply are revealing either disobedience or ignorance. Because one of the ways we advance the truth is by the way we live. And the Bible says here that when we are living in our lives, notice the word here, manifestation of the truth. How many of you recognize that if someone says you ought to love your neighbor, but then they're yelling and screaming at their neighbor, or cussing at their neighbor, or always angry at their neighbor, how many of you realize that their actions are speaking louder than their words? And so God says, I want people who are now recognizing their call to ministry, not just to teach the right message, but to live the right life so that unsaved people will see the manifestation of Jesus in us, and so that their conscience will tell them, you know what? Whatever that man, whatever that woman has, it's real. And that's why when we aren't right with God, that's why when Christians backslide, it hurts the cause of Christ, because someone says, if that guy's a Christian, I don't need Jesus Christ, because he lives just exactly like people without Christ. And that's why Lancaster Baptist Church for 25 years has stood without apology for the fact that as Christians, we should live a separated life. And maybe there's varying degrees of that separation, and maybe different people are coming along at different phases of their growth. But we will never deny the doctrine of holiness or separation, because the Bible teaches that we're not just to talk the talk, we're to walk the walk. How many of you ever read that verse in James? That we're to be not just hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word, you see. And that is not legalism. That is not bondage to say that we ought to live a holy life or we ought to attend church faithfully. That is simply to say, hey, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we've got to be modeling and showing forth the Christian life in the way that we live through our everyday lives. Paul said this in Acts 24:16. He said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Well, listen, there's no softer pillow than a clear conscience. Paul said, I live my life every day so that my conscience is right toward God and toward men. How many of you guys would say that if tomorrow at work you tell or listen to a dirty joke, or you get mad and say a bunch of filthy words, it might be hard later in that same day to pass a gospel tract to the guy you work with? It doesn't really matter that you believe in the King James Bible or that you believe in the rapture of the church. If you're living that way, you're hurting your ability to spread the gospel. And that's why it's not just pure doctrine, it's a pure life. And that's why Lancaster Baptist Church, while some might say, well, they're just fuddy-duddies or even worse than that, the fact is that all we're trying to emphasize is this. That when the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our lives, the Bible says we're supposed to be new creatures. Old things are passing away. Don't tell me you're going to go out door knocking with your Budweiser and your 52 tattoos and your earrings and your cuss words and try to bring people to Jesus Christ. No, sir. You are going to have to recognize that a Christian life is a different, distinct kind of a life, and that that's what it means to be a vessel unto honor, watch this, sanctified and ready for the Master's use. And that's what tonight is all about, having people whose lives are ready for the Master to use. How many of you want God to use your life? Hey, let me tell you. Now my grandson's a little different on this. Camden, that little fella, his ball will drop on the ground, he'll put it right back in his mouth. Food will be on the ground, he'll put it in his mouth. Cat food will be on the ground, he'll put it in his mouth. He has very little discernment about cleanliness, but most of us, if you were to look at Camden's little jar of milk that he would drink, or his little jar of juice with all the other goopy stuff that's in it, most of you are going to take a look at that and say, I'll have a clean glass, please, right? And that's what God says. He says, I want to have vessels that are ready and clean for me to use. And so pure lives do matter. And when someone recognizes that, God is honored and glorified. All right, so first, we must recognize our role. God calls us with a purpose. Secondly, we must reveal the truth. That's what the singing and the serving and all of this is about tonight, getting the truth out. Thirdly, we must remember our responsibility. And our responsibility is clearly given, and I want you to see it with me tonight. First, notice in verse number 3 again, we see the scriptures say that we are to manifest the truth. Verse 3 then, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Notice, God says, I want you, first of all, to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. I want you to get that gospel message out. I want you to recognize that if we don't reveal the truth, and if we don't manifest the truth, then who's going to do it? Have you figured out that CNN is not going to give a great gospel tomorrow night? Have you figured out that Governor Schwarzenegger is probably not going to publish gospel tracts and pass them out at the prison? I mean, the Bible is asking a question or posing a proposition. If we, as born-again Christians, watch me, if we don't get it out, who's going to get it out? And it's hid from those that are lost. I mean, these are people groping and wanting to know the way of salvation. So our responsibility is to preach Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. That's for you to do. Wait a minute. If I understand the verse before it correctly, your life is preaching something. And when we speak of Christ, we're proclaiming the message. So again, everyone's in the ministry tonight. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, recognizing our role, there's no one who can walk out of here tonight and say, well, you know, get the gospel out, that's for the preacher, you know, but that's not for me. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that all of us have a part in getting this gospel message out. We can do it in a lot of different ways. I'm so excited about our missions conference coming up in about 2.5 weeks. And I think I counted this afternoon 31 different missionary families coming in. I met a family last night at a meeting from going to Guam as missionaries, and just stood up in the pulpit with tears in their eyes. And God called them to reach the people in Guam with the gospel. And it was just a matter of moments when I found them after church. I said, hey, I want to invite you to come to Lancaster Baptist and share your burden. And by the way, they're not missionaries, they're missionaries. They're not coming here to beg. It's our privilege to help them. And that's one of the ways we can get the gospel out, by having a ministry heart towards them and being a blessing to them when they come our way. A missionary in Africa was once asked if he really liked what he was doing. His response was shocking. He said this, do I like this work? No. My wife and I do not like dirt. We have reasonably refined sensibilities. We do not like crawling into vile huts through goat refuse. But is a man to do nothing for Christ that he does not like doing? God pity him if not. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with it. We have orders to go and we go. The love of Jesus constrains us. You know, honestly, it's not always about whether I like everything I do or whether you like... Listen, when someone vomits on a Sunday morning and the ushers are cleaning that up, they may not like doing that. But how many of you are glad that as a minister,
they do it. When a baby in the nursery is biting every other baby, that's not the best day for a nursery worker. But I'm sure glad they're dealing with it over there, not in here while I preach. You see, they have a theme verse over there. They shall not all sleep, but they shall all be changed. And that's the theme verse in the nursery department. By the way, men, how many of you are glad that that's not your particular ministry over there? Amen. Next time you want to complain about your ministry, just remember that ministry. Amen. Or we'll transfer you if you don't change your attitude. All right. But thank God for missionaries who say, you know what? No, I don't like everything about being a missionary, but I do recognize a command and I want to be faithful to that command. As I looked at the list of the missionaries we have coming from Africa, from Muslim countries, from all over the world, they're going to help us to remember, you know what? It's not so bad to serve the Lord in the United States of America. God has called us to preach Christ. Secondly, God has called us to serve others. Verse 5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." God says, I want you to serve others. I want you and the hospitality team to look for those coming in that can be served. And I want you and the ushers, and I want you in the nursery. I want you to serve others. It's not about ourselves. It's about looking for the needs of others. At our open house Sunday coming up on October the 10th, we're going to have hundreds of tables in the gym and perhaps out in some of the modulars. And we're going to ask many, many members of our church. Everyone will have an opportunity to be a table host. And to take a table and say, you know what, I'm going to have my family and another family, and we're going to host that table. And we're going to serve that table. And we're going to invite people to come and sit there at the meal after pastor preaches. And hopefully if they didn't get saved at the church service, they'll get saved at the table where I'm going to be a host. And what a blessing to think that you might invite a friend or two to come and sit at your table. But hey, it's more than that. They're going to sit at the table where we're going to spread out the bread of life. And they're going to hear the wonderful words of life. And you see, it's not just about the meal. It's not just about the youth rally for the teenagers. It's not just about the fun or the music or the guests. It is about an opportunity to get the gospel to the table and to get sinners to the table, serving others. I hope that tonight you'll recognize the great privilege, recognize the calling. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Let's say that together. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Sometimes pastors try to get people motivated to serve. And I hope I can be encouraging, but I've figured it out. It really is all about the Holy Spirit touching your heart. No one stays in the bus ministry over a period of time unless the Holy Spirit's comforting and giving them grace. No one stays faithful in church attendance even, or giving, or any matter of service for the Lord unless God is at work in their heart. A lot of Christians are like wheelbarrows. They're not really very good unless they're pushed. Some Christians are like canoes. They need to be paddled. Some are like kites. If you don't have a string on them, they fly away. Some are like kittens. They're okay as long as you're petting them. Some are like balloons, full of wind and ready to blow up at any moment. Some church members are like footballs. You just don't know how they're going to bounce the next time. Some are like trailers. They need to be pulled. Some are like neon lights. They go on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. But many are like the North Star. Always there. Always dependable. Or as Dr. Bobby Robertson has admonished us many times, just be in your place. Faithful. Faithful. Recognizing, pastor didn't call me, the church didn't call me, the church didn't save me, God saved me, God has a purpose for my life, and I want to be faithful to my God until Jesus Christ comes again. Look at the verses we close in 2 Corinthians 5:14. 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." How many of you believe Jesus loves you? Can I see a hand on that one tonight? All right. Hey, when you get a little weary with it all, would you remember that? The love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. You see, that's what tonight's about. We're not here to live for ourselves, but unto Him which died for us and rose again. I want to challenge you tonight and think of this very clearly. Recognize your role. Ministry is not just for the platform. It's for all of us. This is a Baptist church. All of us can open the Bible. All of us can be involved in ministry. Recognize your role. Secondly, reveal the truth this year. Let God use you to get the truth out. And finally, remember your responsibility is a responsibility of active servanthood, being a participant in the work of God.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.